are back for another edition of The Main Event. Today is episode 63, and we have a couple of high-level guests on the show. Logan Storley, a super prospect who will be making his Bellator debut at Bellator 181, will be joining us and break down that huge fight against Kemuel Haley at Bellator 181. Also, Kurt Hollibaugh, who is going to be taking on a friend of the show here. We've had him on quite a few times, Matt the Mangler Bassett, and they are the main event of Dana White's Contender Series, which takes place on Tuesday, July 11th. That's the first show that they're putting out for this Contender Series, and it's going to be at the Tough Gym in Las Vegas and exclusively on Fight Pass. So we'll talk to him about his big matchup with Bassett.
I think Kurt and Matt have a lot of respect from Dana White and the UFC brass, because when you think about a show on CBS or on NBC or an ABC when they're in that, like, their fall primetime schedule, the pilot episode is the one that needs to draw people in. It needs to get people interested to get more shows. It's a little different because it's a UFC production and it's going to be on UFC Fight Pass, but still, they want something to draw in this fan to this Tuesday night fight series, and they decided to put their faith in Kurt and Matt, and I think they are going to deliver, and I would expect at least one of them for sure to get that spot in the UFC, in a pretty prolific one. But I wouldn't be surprised to see both guys be making it into that three-letter promotion here very, very soon in the near future after this fight coming up.
Yeah, and we've talked about this a number of times. Matt Bassett is one of the very best pound-for-pound fighters in New England.
It's him knocking on the door.
He's right there. And, you know, Kurt has already been there. He fought in the UFC once before. He lost to Steven Seiler. That was a unanimous decision loss back at, that was in 2013. I think it was UFC 159. It was on the preliminary card of Chael Sonnen versus John Jones.
Right.
And so he after that, he went and he fought in Strikeforce. He lost another tough fight to a really good veteran. I'm escaping exactly who it was right now, but he went on a big win streak.
Mm.
And so he's been proving himself and working his way back up the ladder. He's now the interim lightweight champion and local promotion at Titan FC. And so he's right there. He's legitimate. Matt is legitimate. And this right here is going to be a new contender for either the 145-pound division if Bassett wins, or 155, I believe, if Kurt wins.
Right. And we really appreciate both of them being on the show. But you get a feel for Matt a little bit. And I know we'll talk with Kurt, and I'm sure we'll be pulling for him as well here in just a couple of moments. But the way that Matt has been on the cusp and sort of is falling out with Bellator and saying he really doesn't want to fight for them anymore, and the options are dwindling, at least for him. There is that Professional Fighters League that used to be World Series of Fighting that he could potentially sneak into if he wanted to. But his end-all, be-all is to go to the UFC, and he gets this opportunity to impress Dana White, to impress fight fans, and do something like we've seen similar people do as of late, and maybe take that circuitous route like a Gaethje, and we'll talk about it a little bit more later on, because those were
good
some
Lord.
Hell of a fights, and we'll talk about that in the outro. But maybe he can do the Gaethje type of route where he just impresses people so much where they can't say no to him, and then they bring him up. And this could be one of the steps for the Mangler as well.
And I think Bassett has been doing that for a while now. That's something that he said that he wants to do. He wants to basically make himself completely, like, you can't not know who the guy is. You have to give him a shot. He's
right.
been beating everybody around here in the regional scene, and he's been doing it quite handily, to be honest. So this right here is that next step up in competition. If he can get by Kurt, he's going to get his shot in the UFC, which is the culmination of all the hard work that he's put in. And, you know, either way, this is going to be fireworks. Both of these guys can bang, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch.
And it's enough to pry some money out of your pocket. You said UFC
darn
Fight
right.
Pass, here you come.
You're darn right. I should have taken the plunge a while ago.
Yeah,
I was
too.
Looking actually at it just the other day, and it's, you know, only $10 a month, or if you wanted to buy like a 6-month subscription, you can save some money. They drop it down a dollar
big
or two.
Big baller brand for
you
Ryan
know.
Over here.
Yeah, well, I'm not quite Lorenzo, Lonzo Ball. Or
Lorenzo, LeVar's going to come swaggering through here.
Yeah.
I love Vince McMahon and Conor McGregor and smack
man.
You.
I don't even know. I don't even know if, what I'd even say to him if I got to meet him. He's just straight comedy. But yeah, I mean, this is the fight that you know, obviously Dana White is putting his faith in these two guys delivering. It's the main event of the first, the inception, their first show of their Contender Series. Yeah. So this is going to be big news, and I'm very happy for, you know, Matt. We've had him on the show before, and this will be Kurt's first time on the show. So it's going to be neat to be able to watch both of these guys in there, and hopefully it's a great fight, and I'd like to see both of them get in there.
Exactly. And I think that's probably a very likely possibility. Again, Matt's been knocking on the door. Kurt's been a longtime guy. He's, as you mentioned, fought in the UFC too. So when all is said and done, after they have one of these vintage MMA brawls that people are talking about for eons, they'll be like, ah, maybe we should bring both of them. Maybe we can do it again on like a pay-per-view card between these sides. And yeah, and no matter what happens, we can say we gave them the main event bump, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Because we've had both on after today's show. So boom, they both get a little bump from us.
That's right. And I did talk to Bissett. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to come on today. He wanted to, but he is in the air as we speak, flying to Vegas.
So, very nice.
He did tell me that he'd love to come on after the fight, win or lose, and discuss the experience and just tell us all about it. So hopefully we'll have the Mangler on for a third time here in the near future.
Hopefully both guys enjoy that dry heat. It's one of my favorite things. I love being warm and in nice climates, but it's not humid. It's not like oppressively hot.
Right.
It's just that dry heat. I could sit there in the Las Vegas area and just sit in that 100-degree heat and not feel anything. It's just so delightful.
Have you ever been?
Oh, yeah, of course. Oh, okay. I was out there for a week in September, so maybe not the height of the summertime by any means. But, I mean, it was enjoyable as all get out. We were walking down the strip. I stayed up at Circus Circus with my then-girlfriend and her family. And we decided to go and see if we could get around the experience, because it was Floyd Mayweather fighting Canelo Alvarez.
Oh, very cool.
Was when I was down there, actually.
Wait, so how many years ago was this?
Like 3-4 years, maybe. Okay. Yeah, it was a little while away, but so we were down there. It was actually, I think, two fights before or it might have been the last fight before he fought Pacquiao. Regardless, we were down there, and we didn't get tickets, of course. I missed out on Iron Maiden. A whole to-do. I was not too happy that I missed out on Floyd and that. But we walked all the way down from Circus Circus, and if you're familiar with the strip, it's at the very north end of the strip. Not even technically like right on the strip. It's like very tippy-top. Yep. And we walked all the way down. We almost got to the very, very end, like where the Vegas sign is. And if you know anything about Vegas, that is a long way to go by foot. And then we did the whole trek back. We were exhausted by the time we got back to the hotel room.
Could have just flagged down a cab and hopped in one of those, you know, Brian?
We were there. We were up until 1 o'clock West Coast time, which if you know anything about that, and we were still on East Coast time, like body-wise, yeah, that was not fun. But I did enjoy the heat. It was pretty nice. Other people were wilting, and I was like, oh, no, give me more. I'm going to walk around doing my little strut. But, yeah, good times.
Yeah, not to get off track here, but you mentioned Floyd, and I wanted to remind me of I had a dream the other night. I don't know if this is a premonition. This has nothing to do with Connor.
It's a premonition.
It has nothing to do with Connor, so hear me out.
Okay.
But I actually had a dream that I was sitting right up close for Triple G versus Canelo, Triple G knocked him out in the first round. Whether that happens or not, we will have to wait and see.
You're going to put some money on it now?
We'll have to wait and see. All I'm going to tell you is that it was a very real dream, and I woke up today and I was like, wow. I had to double check to make sure that fight didn't happen, because I felt like it did.
Speaking of which, two quick little boxing notes / UFC / MMA. They are going to do a promotional tour. London, Brooklyn, Vegas, I think LA as well is going to be part of this tour between McGregor and Mayweather, which I absolutely love.
Tuesday. It starts Tuesday.
Because the fight itself is probably not going to be that good. It probably may be a little bit more exciting than Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Mayweather. But it's probably not going to be much more exciting than that brawl. So this is going to be what people are going to be paying the money for. They're going to buy the pay-per-view because of this tour that starts here next week. So I'm looking forward to it. And again, you're going to hear some classic Conor quips and some clips that are going to be played throughout national media. So I'm looking forward to seeing what that is.
Sign me up. Anytime Conor gets in front of the microphone and starts talking and starts trying to dissect his opponent and get under his skin and get in his head, I'm all about it. I cannot wait to see if he steps his game up and is even more creative with his trash talk, and if he can get under Floyd's skin, because if he can, that can go a long way in the fight. You know, you saw what happened with Jose Aldo. He just seemed to be beaten before they got into the octagon. Now, granted, this is different, and he's stepping into the boxing ring, and it's Floyd's domain, but, you know, look, any, we're all human, and Connor Connor could get under his skin, which could play a factor. Yeah. So I can't wait for the promotional tour. I'd like to just press fast forward and get to it because I'm like a little kid on Christmas waiting.
And finally, before we get to the interviews, I do need to touch on, because this is the first time we've actually been able to sit down and officially talk about the boxing match that was on national TV last weekend, right? Between Manny Pacquiao and Jeff the Hornet Horn. I know I watched it in its duration. It was perfect. I was watching professional wrestling. This Japanese promotion did a stateside show, and it wrapped up right before Pacquiao hit the ring. So I was like, oh, this is delightful. But, man, good action at times. Manny Pacquiao looked like his vintage self. Then he looked old. He couldn't knock out this guy that he would have easily 5 years ago. And then when all was said and done, Jeff Horn somehow won. And not just won, it was a unanimous decision. And one of the judges scored at, what, 117 to 111? And that's what makes boxing look bad in comparison to MMA nowadays.
It's a bad look. It's a bad look for boxing. And that's the thing. I mean, that's what I took from it. I'm like, this was their turn to shine a little bit, to put some more, luster and that shimmer on boxing and kind of take it away from MMA for a little bit. And this was the time to do it. National TV, ESPN, anyone could watch it. Manny Pacquiao, one of the most well-known boxers in the world, and he gets robbed, and it just leaves you with a bad taste in your mouth. You're like, what did I stay up until midnight watching this for?
Midnight, like 1 o'clock.
So it's frustrating, and that's the second time that Pacquiao has been jobbed. I remember paying for that pay-per-view versus Timothy Bradley way back in the day. Pacquiao won that fight, and he got screwed out of it.
And ironic was he on the that he was on
I
the
know,
call of
right?
that one?
I know. Tell me about it.
And man, Teddy Atlas is going nuts, going absolutely crazy, saying like, "Oh, this is a robbery! He should have won that one handily." The fact that this is ridiculous, and I guess now they're investigating to see if it truly was maybe some weirdness going on there. For Jeff Horn, he's not a great fighter, but he's going to be making some good money here. And you know what? I'm interested to see Jeff Horn versus Manny Pacquiao too, whether that's on free TV in the United States, whether that's on pay-per-view. Eyeballs will now be on that if they decide to go with the rematch, because Manny does have the rematch clause. And, you know, I'd like to see it, but I'd also like to see Manny Pacquiao probably hang up the gloves here at some point, too, because if he can't knock this guy out, which he should have, and almost in the 10th round, maybe it's time, because he's not a good fighter in comparisons to the Bradleys of the world he used to be fighting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, and that's the truth. Sometimes you can only take so many punches to the head in your career before you're just not the same guy.
Right.
You slow down. Father Time catches up with all of us, and I think Pacquiao, I'd have to agree, is at that point right now. And I'm a huge proponent for fighters calling it a career, a fight too soon rather than a fight too late. So I agree with you.
And maybe we'll discuss that later on when we're talking about Gaethje and the end of the show, because, man, he is a brutal beast.
He's the Terminator.
But, man, that's got to be taking an impact on him at some point in his life, and hopefully it doesn't. But, man, what a UFC tough finale last night, and we'll talk about that and some other things too. Michael Bisping even made an appearance when our buddy Dracar Close said all Englishmen are bums. Absolutely love that one. But we'll go into depth in that one a little bit later on, because we cannot wait any longer. We got some big time interviews coming up for you.
Yeah, we'll be right back with Kurt Hollibaugh. Here at the Main Event, we are very proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog Brewing Company. A couple of big things that are going on this summer at the Sea Dog. Tuesday nights, you can get $2 tacos as well as $2 Modelos. And from 6 to 8:30 on Tuesday nights, they have Name That Tune. So that's a good fun evening to do with the family or your friends if you want to head down to the Sea Dog on Tuesdays for $2 tacos and $2 Modelos. Also on Thursday nights from 6 to 8:30, they have trivia and prizes for trivia. So if you want to go and have some fun and test your knowledge and win some prizes, the Sea Dog is the place to go. As always, the Sea Dog is located at 26 Front Street in Bangor on the Penobscot River. You can reach them at 947-8009. Or if you're online, you can check them out at seadogbrewing.com and on Facebook at Sea Dog Bangor. The Main Event is proud to be sponsored by the Sea Dog. And really, when you get a chance, go down to the Sea Dog and check them out, because not only is the menu the best, but they have unbelievable drafts on tap and a fun environment for everyone to enjoy. The Sea Dog, Front Street, Bangor. We'll be right back. now is a 17-4 professional mixed martial artist who will take on Matt Bissett next in the main event of the debut of Dana White's Contender Series, which will take place on Tuesday, July 11th at the Tough Gym in Las Vegas and exclusively on UFC Fight Pass. Kurt Hollabaugh is here on the main event. Thank you so much for being here today.
No, not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Now, you have been in the fight game for a long time now, Kurt, and you even actually competed for the UFC before at UFC 159, Jones versus Sonnen, and that was in 2013. What has your journey been like to get off to such a hot start in your career, and then you basically kind of had to grind your way to get back to where you're at now? How excited are you for this opportunity? It's such a big one.
Yeah, you know, I'm really excited. It's been a lot of up and downs through my career, but... You know, what's the MMA career without up and down? So, you know, it's been a long journey back to where I'm at now. I've had a lot more fights since my time in the UFC, so I have a lot more experience, and I'm ready to show it.
Now, did you ever feel discouraged, or did you always know that you would eventually get back to this point, you're going to get another crack at the UFC?
No, I was never discouraged. You know, I always knew that at some point, as long as I kept grinding and kept working, I would be back.
Yeah, and here you are, and it's such an exciting matchup with you and the Mangler. We'll dive into that here shortly. But you are in Vegas right now. Well, what's the weather like? Is it nice and hot?
Oh, yeah, man, it's hot. I think it was 125 yesterday, and it's starting out 108 so far today. It's pretty hot out here.
That must make it a lot easier for cutting weight, just being out there and all that heat. And if you stay out of the hotels, I'm sure the weight just pours right off you.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. I'm actually walking right now out here, and it's pretty hot. I'm breaking a little sweat. I'm pretty hydrated. So yeah, man, it could be good.
Now you fought at 55 a lot in your career. Now this fight's at 45. Do you plan on staying here at 45, or do you think 55 is where you will make your home here eventually? Once you get into the UFC and have plans on staying there.
Nah, you know, I like that UFC 155-pound division. I think I'm going to be looking to move back up to a lightweight after this fight. You know, but I'm one of those guys that if a big opportunity came along, I can make the weight at 145 pounds. Sometimes it's a struggle, sometimes it's not. But it all depends on how the diet goes.
What do you normally walk around at?
I normally walk around at 177 pounds.
Oh, okay, yeah, so 45, man, that's got to be a real tough cut. And you're, you know, 5'10", 5'11"-ish, I'm guessing?
Yeah, 5'10", 5'10 and a half, and 5'11", something like that.
Yeah.
I'm decent height on me.
Yeah, I mean, either way, 45 or 55, that seems like the logical weight class for you. And again, this is the first step in getting that crack and getting back into the UFC. Now, you're there with your head coach, Rafael Ellwanger. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but just talk about your coach and your team and how much they've actually meant to the continuing progression of your career.
Yeah, you know, a lot has to contribute to them. You know, they keep me straight. They keep me training hard. They keep my mind right at times. And, you know, it's awesome to have good coaches like them.
And who are some of your main training partners that have helped you prep for Bissett?
You know, I've got my main training partners, Michael McDonald, Jacob Small, Chris Pham, Michael Lawford. You know, we have a ton of guys that really high level that always are coming out helping me train. So, you know, having guys like that makes it easy.
Have they been giving you any specific looks to help you in preparation for what Bissett brings to the table?
You know, not really. I don't really too much get into that. I see some of his tools that he has. But, you know, they're nothing that I've never faced before, so... I don't think he's any better than any of my best opponents in the past.
And that actually leads right into my next question, actually, because you've faced some elite guys in your career. Dez Green, Andre Harrison, and most recently you had a big win over Cavalcante. How soon after that win were you approached with this huge opportunity?
You know, it probably wasn't even about 2 weeks. Which I knew an opportunity was going to come. I didn't know if it was going to be the Contender Series or, you know, a late fill-in. But I knew the replacement would or the fight would come. So I was, you know, I was still training. I was still preparing. So I knew I would be ready.
Who was the first person that you called when you found out this news? Did you call a family member, or was it your head coach? I know you have a new management team. I was listening to an interview with you recently, and they've been putting a lot of hard work to help get you to this next step in your career. But who was the first person that you broke the news to?
I probably got home and told my mom and my dad just that I had another fight on Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series, and it was going to be a pretty big fight. So it was all pretty happy.
Yeah, that's got to be not just thrilling for yourself, obviously, because this is what you work your whole career towards, but as a family member of someone in your position, they must have been pretty happy for you, huh?
Yeah, you know, they really are. They really support me to the fullest with everything that I do. They help me out a ton with watching my kids and, you know, taking care of everything while I'm gone or while I'm traveling out of town. So, you know, they're a huge help and a big part of why I'm able to be successful in my career.
And I'm sure your excitement turned to laser-like focus pretty quickly when preparing for the Mangler. Break down his game for us. What is it that you think Bissett does best?
Well, I think he, you know, he mixes his punches up well. I don't really know how technical his jiu-jitsu is. I don't really know how technical his wrestling is. You know, I don't see too much of it in his fights. I know he like really just likes to stand up and put on a good fight. But, you know, I'm the same way. I'm a lot more defensive of a stand-up fighter, but at the same time, I'm pushing the pace, just making you miss with your punches and, you know, countering you and coming back landing mine. So I think it's a good matchup for me.
So you feel like you hold the advantages and the key points in this fight pretty handily?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think I'm one of the best in the world. I know I'm one of the best in the world. I've shown it time in and time out. My only losses are mainly to some high-level wrestlers that, you know, that I made little mistakes. They didn't really even, you know, dominate me. I just made certain mistakes that, you know, caused me the round or caused me the fight. So, you know, take some of that away. Who knows what my record would be right now? Who knows where I would be at? But, you know, I learned from those losses. And, you know, now I'm ready to take on another challenge.
Both you and Bissett are high-level, high-energy guys, and clearly, you know, the fight, wherever it goes, I know both of you feel very proficient. Are we going to see some kind of fast-paced fight like we did last night with Justin Gaethje and Michael Johnson? Are the fans going to see something like that?
Yeah, I think so, because I'm going for it, man. You know, I've been training for 5 rounds. Now I only got 3 rounds. So, and you know, I got a pretty good gas tank on me, so I know I can go out there and I can push the pace and I can land bombs. And, yeah, I think that could be exactly the fight you're going to get, especially being right there in front of Dana White.
Right. I mean, that's just got to up the stakes even more. And does stuff like that, does that get you any more nervous? Or does it just make you key in even more and focus and have that, you know, real laser-like focus when you're in there against your opponent? I'm just curious. I know it affects different people differently, I'd say, but how does it affect you?
No, not really. No, once I step into the ring or the octagon, I'm not nervous anymore. I've been in there, this is my 30th time stepping into a cage or a ring. So, you know, I don't get nervous anymore when I step in. It's, you know, I'm all about business. I'm all about ready to have some fun.
So give us a little prediction. How does this fight end? How do you see you getting your hand raised?
You know, I'm going to stick to what I've been saying. I've been saying it's going to be either first or second round TKO. Early, late second, early, late first, early second.
Very nice. I also have to ask, too, here, Kurt, with this being a historic one, it's the first one ever, does that mean anything more to you to be the debut sort of fight on this card in front of Dana White?
I think so. I think it means a little bit more. Like I told somebody before, you know, you can possibly get the next Stephen Bonner and Forrest Griffin fight out of me and Bissett. You know, we're going to stand up and we're going to throw a lot of punches. I know we both have high punch counts, and that's what makes for an exciting fight. So,
and also,
who knows what you're going to get.
Oh, sorry about that. Also, I don't know if you've heard the speculation about some of the celebrity callers on this one, but Snoop Dogg is potentially going to be calling some fights out there. Does that mean anything if, say, old DLWG is calling one of your fights here in the future?
Yeah, you know, it's definitely something cool, and it's, you know, how many people have had Snoop Dogg call their fight. So it's going to be fun. I think it's going to be a fun time. You know, I'm 100% ready for it. So I hope everybody else is too.
Yeah, well, I know both Brian and myself here. I can't wait to watch this fight. We'll be making sure that we're home Tuesday night to tune into UFC Fight Pass to catch this big main event of the opening, I guess you could say, segment of the Dana White Contender Series here. And before we let you go, Kurt, is there anybody that you'd like to thank that helped you prep for this this huge opportunity?
Hey, no, let me thank my team, Gracie United, Team Junkhouse South, my managers, Sucker Punch Entertainment, a few sponsors, Alienware and K-Ray Construction, you know, a bunch of guys that helped me out and is taking this journey to the next step with me.
Current Titan FC interim lightweight champ and former Titan FC featherweight champion, he is Kurt Holubaugh, and you can see him fight next Tuesday, July 11th on UFC Fight Pass when he takes on Matt Bissett in the main event of Dana White's Contender Series debut. Thank you so much for coming on today, Kurt. Best of luck on Tuesday, and love to have you back on sometime.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
The heat is on, the summer is here, and there are so much fun things to do in this area, but you know what you need to do first and foremost? You need to have a good, enjoyable dining experience with really good food, because you know what? That's first and foremost on my summer wish list. Yeah, it's getting a nice tan, it's working on the summer body, but it's also enjoying some of these great food items at the Sea Dog on the Front Street in Bangor. If you know me a little bit, you know I'm not one to really stray off of the burgers or the grilled cheese or whatnot. And that's why there's these perfect items here that can mix something I'm very familiar with something also I'm going to enjoy, like this lobster grilled cheese. It's sourdough grilled cheese with a lobster salad in the mix. So I get the comfort I have with a grilled cheese, but I can also include a little lobster. Get a little on the wild side there. How about a crab cake BLTA? Yeah, it's a crab cake served on a house bun with bacon, lettuce, tomato, and avocado. Oh, that sounds so good. There's so many great items at the Sea Dog at Front Street in Bangor for you to try, like a baked stuffed lobster entree as well, panko salmon, skewered tips, chicken and artichoke pasta. I'm just salivating thinking about all these things on the new 2017 Sea Dog Summer Menu. Go check it out for yourself. Tell them the main event sent you, and go try out some of these delicious, delicious items and wash it down with a nice, tasty beer. I would recommend the Blue Paw. It's my absolute favorite. One of the first beers I ever consumed as a legal, consenting 21-year-old who was able to buy alcohol. It was one of the Sea Dog Blue Paws. Absolutely one of my favorites. I'm actually going to go out there and buy one immediately after the show. We got to get some business done. But once this is over, I'm going to go get a Sea Dog Blue Paw because it sounds delightful on a nice summer day like today. Go check him out, Sea Dog on the Front Street in Bangor.
Phone now is a big-time prospect who recently signed with Bellator and will make his debut July 14th at Bellator 181 when he takes on Kemuel Haley. Logan Storley joins the main event. Thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Now, signing with Bellator or the UFC seemed to be like it was inevitable for you. It just seemed like that was going to be your next step. How excited are you to make your Bellator debut, and what went behind your decision to choose Bellator over the UFC, who also wanted to sign you?
You know, I'm excited. I'm very excited, but this is just, you know, it's another fight. You know, I have to go in there and I have to do my job like I've done in my past five fights, and you know, I'm excited for the opportunity. But you know, as far as the UFC and Bellator, it made sense to sign with Bellator right now. You know, they've been doing really well with college wrestlers and promoting them and supporting them through the transition and the sponsorship. You know, it's tough to only make $2,500 for your first five fights in the UFC. And so that that was a major thing for me as I looked at that, and I just it doesn't interest me.
Right, and you're still so young that when you do kind of, you know, get to a point in your career where if you decided you wanted to leave Bellator and go to the UFC, you can probably negotiate something where you're going to be getting paid more down the line, correct?
Yeah, correct. You know, obviously I'm very happy with Bellator, and they've treated me very well so far and had great communication. But obviously, you know, when that happens in the future, I'll look at look at both sides, and we'll see what the future holds. But right now I'm happy with Bellator, and so we'll go from there.
Yeah, and you have a bright future. I can't wait to watch your debut here. Now you are a six-time, correct me if I'm wrong, a six-time high school state wrestling champion in South Dakota and a four-time Division I All-American wrestler when you competed at the University of Minnesota. Now, do you think that your wrestling pedigree, which you clearly are at a high level, do you think that's the most important discipline in order to be proficient at MMA? It just seems like, as you were saying earlier, there's a lot of wrestlers that are making that transition. Do you think this is going to help separate you and really take you where you want to go in your career?
Yeah, you know, you see a lot of wrestlers do very well in the sport of MMA, but, you know, now we're seeing strikers, too, really come onto the scene and do very well for themselves. So the game is evolving every single year and every single fight. You know, we're seeing something new. So my wrestling is very important, but I have to continue to get better at everything, and that's why I'm down here in Florida with Henry Hooft right now. You know, he's, in my opinion, the best striking coach in the world. And so I have to continue to improve on everything and evolve in everything, my ground game and my striking. And so I know what it takes, you know, to be at a high level in wrestling. And that's just one discipline. So now I have to get better at all these other disciplines in order to reach my goal in the sport of MMA. So, you know, but my wrestling is, you know, it's top notch. And I truly believe there is no one at the 170-pound division that can handle my wrestling and my scrambling and the constant pressure and just the little things, how my wrestling is translated into MMA. It's been very, very good to me.
Right. Yeah, and I really think that is, in my personal opinion, I feel like that wrestling is probably the most important discipline to have, like, as a fundamental, like, just at your core as a fighter. My father was a big-time wrestler in high school, and he always told me how, you know, especially when he's watching MMA matches, how a lot of these wrestlers, like yourself, they use that to set up their strikes and finish fights, which you've done very well because your striking is taken right off. I mean, all five of your wins are coming by way of knockout or TKO, and you mentioned earlier training with Henry Hooft. How much credit do you give to him training you and helping you progress on the feet?
I mean, he's unbelievable. He breaks things down. He makes it very simple, you know, and that's what I needed. I needed that guy to just take me to the next level and help me, you know. It's not about knowing 500 different things. It's about knowing a few things very and being very, very good with them, being great with them. And in wrestling, we always said, you know, you need one shot that you can take down anybody in the country. And it wasn't about knowing everything, but it's being great at a couple things. And so Henry Hooft has done a great job at just simplifying things and making sure I'm doing the basics very, very good. And so, you know, I'm excited, and I see the progression in my striking, in my sparring, you know, watching film from when I first got down here in February to now, it's crazy. And I feel it, and my confidence is growing every single time, you know, I'm stepping into practice.
Yeah, and you know, that old saying, iron sharpens iron, and you train with some of the best in the game, some names like Robbie Lawler, Michael Chandler, and Michael Johnson, just to name a few. Is there any specific training partner who you go with more than the others or someone that pushes you more?
I've spent a lot of time with Michael Chandler and Robbie Lawler. Like, Chandler was my roommate, and we did the camp together for his last fight. And then I work with Robbie Lawler, you know, a couple times a week. You know, he just got done working out now today. And, you know, so those two have, you know, world champs, both former world champs. And so being around guys like that are they're veterans in this sport and know the little ins and outs has really elevated my game and just my mental, you know, how they look at things, how they break things down, you know, they just break it down so good that I can understand it in a wrestling standpoint. You know, I know exactly how to manage a wrestling match for 7 minutes. I've done it 1,000 times. And so now I'm starting to understand how to break down a fight and how to manage a fight and how to stay calm. And so I'm learning and getting smarter in this sport every time I'm going with one of those guys.
Yeah, I mean, and it's funny you mentioned Robbie Lawler, because I was watching the Michael Johnson Justin Gaethje fight last night, and I'd like to get your thoughts on that. And you obviously training with Michael Johnson, but Justin Gaethje reminded me a little bit of how Robbie Lawler is. He's just relentless, and it's like the Terminator. You can't put him away. Did you get a chance to check that fight out, and just what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I did. You know, it's always tough to see a teammate lose, but, you know, Michael did it. You know, they put on a great show for everyone. You know, it was unbelievable. Probably going to be a fight of the year. But, you know, he just he kind of ran out of gas there at the end. And he had Gaethje hurt two times, you know, really bad, and just couldn't put him away. So, you know, much respect to Gaethje. You know, that guy can take a shot and move forward. But, you know, he kind of got off the game plan a little bit of being in and out. But, you know, he'll be back. There's no doubt about it. Michael will learn from it, and he'll be back, and he'll be better than ever. But it was a great fight for the fans and for people to watch.
Oh, it sure was. I mean, I think for my money, as far as right now, it has to be the fight of the year. That was unbelievable. And what you were saying about Michael getting off of the game plan a little bit, that's what the commentators were saying too, because, you know, trying to get sucked into that, you know, in the pocket throwing match, which is exactly what Gaethje wanted. I think if Michael had another chance there, he probably would do it, what you were saying, and kind of stay on the outside and really pick him apart with his speed, because he looked really good there. And he definitely had him hurt a couple of times. Also, real quick, I wanted to get your thoughts on Michael Chandler. We've had Brent Primus on the show before, right before this big fight with Chandler. Obviously, that didn't turn out the way that he wanted to. Is he going to get an immediate rematch, have you heard, with Primus for the belt? And how will it go the second time that they get in there and tangle it?
I haven't heard. I know they talked on another interview he did that they said that it was going to be a rematch, so I'm hoping so. You know, it was, you know, credit to Primus. You know, he went out there and got the win, and I really want to see the full fight, you know, the 100% healthy Chandler versus the 100% healthy Brent Primus. So the second fight, you know, Chandler's got to go out there and he's got to implement his game plan, but Chandler's, you know, was a world champ and defended his belt, and I know that, you know, Michael can go in there and get the W, but I definitely think that, you know, we might change things up this camp and make sure that there's no freak accidents this time.
Yeah, and again, obviously, injuries are a part of the sport. It happens to everyone. But Chandler's always been one of my favorites to watch. He's really is a true pleasure to watch. He's an unbelievable mixed martial artist. So I'm definitely look forward to seeing him getting back in there. Now let's dive into your Bellator debut matchup against Haley. He is coming off back-to-back KO losses. What do you plan to do to ensure a third loss in a row for him?
I'm going to just, you know, keep the pressure, go forward. And, you know, if my hands are there, you know, I'll put my hands on them. And if not, I'll take it to the ground and I'll finish the fight like I've done in my last 5 fights. But, you know, the biggest thing is just keeping the pace, staying calm, picking your shots, and ultimately working to get that finish. So I know how to finish people, and I train with the best guys in the world. So there's no doubt in my mind I'm going to come out of there on Friday night with a win. It's just how it happens. And, you know, you can't really... you can't think about things too much. You just have to react when you're in there. React, be in the moment, and pick your shots, and that's what I'll do.
Have you been able to break down any tape on your opponent? And is that something that you enjoy doing, or we've had fighters on before that they don't like looking at tape, you know, obviously I feel like it does present a lot of benefits when you know what your opponent likes to do. Have you had a chance to check out what he does?
Yeah, you know, I've watched a couple fights. You know, he looks like a big, strong guy, and has some decent wrestling and grappling skills. So I'll test those out, test the water, and see what his wrestling has to offer and what his skill set has to offer. Yeah, I like to watch a few fights, but I'm just worrying about myself after, you know, to a certain extent. You know, it's about getting better, getting myself better for this fight and the next fight, and just you know, becoming a better martial artist every single day, you know. And so obviously I'll watch the film, and if there's something that we see, you know, that might present a problem, then we'll work on that and we'll key in on that. But, you know, I've watched a few of his fights, and he's a tough guy, and, you know, he'll show up Friday night, and, you know, it's not going to be an easy out, but, you know, I'm going to get the W, and then we'll go from there.
And a W will take you to 6-0 in your career. What are your short-term goals now? What would you like to accomplish throughout the remainder of this year, and where do you see yourself in the division as far as Bellator goes throughout, you know, the remainder of this year and then 2018?
You know, my goal is, right now, my short-term plan is Friday night. That's it. That's all I worry about. But obviously, everyone looks into the future, and I know where I'm at. You know, I compete with the best guys in the world on a day-to-day basis. You know, I watched that title fight at 170, and, you know, they're both tough guys. And you got Rory McDonald and MVP, and we got a deep weight class in Bellator at 170, you know. So I know where I'm at, and I'll take it, you know, one fight at a time, take care of Friday night first, and then we'll sit down with Bellator and we'll see what they have to say. But I would like to get another fight in before the end of the year. Definitely, and then we'll really turn things up in 2018, and I will start my run for that world title.
Nice. Well, I know both myself and my partner here in studio very much look forward to watching your Bellator debut. Before we let you go, Logan, is there anybody that you'd like to thank to help you get ready for this big fight?
Yeah, I'd like to thank Henry Hooft and Kami, my wrestling coach Greg Jones, and Robbie Lawler, Michael Chandler, and then my sponsors American Ethanol and Sanford Health have been a big help to me. And, you know, those guys, those sponsors and those coaches and training partners are helping me get to that next level and helping me become world champ. So without those people, I wouldn't be where I'm at.
Undefeated welterweight Logan Storley, and you can see him make his Bellator debut on July 14th when he takes on Kemuel Haley at the Windstar World Casino in Thackerville, Oklahoma for Bellator 181. Thank you for taking the time to join us today, Logan. Best of luck in your debut, and love to have you back on down the line.
Thank you.
I took a walk around the world to ease my troubled mind. I left my body lying somewhere in the sands of time. But I watched the world float to the dark side of the moon. I feel there's nothing I can do.
Yeah. Oh, I'm in. Man, do I remember when that was like running up the charts. People were going crazy, and I was actually talking about this the other day. This was one of the first albums I ever bought. Was this the one that Kryptonite came on from Three Doors Down?
Superman.
Back in the day, my mom had this rule that until I was a certain age, I could not buy parental advisory music. So I had to go and get creative ways around getting some of the music I liked. And I liked like rock and roll music, and I liked metal music primarily.
So that was like by the time you turned 25, you weren't allowed to.
Yeah, I just bought my first one. No, this is back when I was in middle school. So I was probably like, what, 11, 12, 13-ish? Yeah. So, and my parents are both teachers in the school system that I went through, 6th and 7th grade. So they knew all about the culture and everything. And they knew my friends and all that stuff. And they just didn't want me like to drop F-bombs left and right and all that jazz. And I kind of understand that, too.
Sure.
So I had to look creatively for music that didn't swear. So I'm not going to be able to get like the Marilyn Manson CD, or I'm not going to be able to get most of the rap albums that I wanted or that my friends were listening to. But I could get creative. And Three Doors Down, of course, was not swear-filled. So this was a huge song. I was like, I want to get the Three Doors Down album. And they abided. They said, absolutely. I did get pretty creative, though, somehow. Here were some of the other albums I was able to sneak in there. Rob Zombie's album. I'm trying to think. It's the one with Dragula on. I can't think. Hellbilly Deluxe. Mm-hmm. I got that one. Snuck that one in there. Sum 41, I was able to get in too. That album that had, what was it? Fat Lip on it. Okay. Remember that one? That one was pretty damn close to being parental advisory, but I was able to sneak it into the wire.
So the Rob Zombie one wasn't?
No, it wasn't.
See, my parents are very visual. Like, all they'd have to do is look at the cover to that, and they'd be like, no, you're not buying that.
I also got Toxicity by System of a Down, which is still one of my absolute favorite albums of all time. Absolutely love them. It was a privilege to be able to watch them live down in Mansfield, Massachusetts a couple years ago. But yeah, I was able to just get certain songs. Like, I got the Tony Hawk Collector's Edition, like the one from Tony Hawk 3, mm-hmm. had a Bombs Over Baghdad. Love that song, so I had to go and get the compilation album for the music of Tony Hawk Pro Skater to be able to get that song, so... I was a crafty kid.
Well, you're crafty as an adult.
It makes sense how smart I am right now. I am so incredibly smart because as a kid, I had to do crafty things to get the CDs and whatnot I wanted.
You're also very humble.
Yeah, I'm very humble. I might be the most humble person you have ever seen in your life. The only album I almost did, I almost broke my mom down. I was in eighth grade. I was like Papa Roach, and now I'm kind of a little embarrassed about it. The song Last Resort was just such a heavy song.
Right.
It got you really excited for when I was playing basketball or baseball or soccer. It got you a little bit more motivated. Mm-hmm. Not that it mattered in middle school, but I came this close. She pulled her kids in seventh grade when I was in sixth grade to see if whether or not that they would view it as an acceptable CD for them to buy me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. My peers screwed me over. Like, I don't know about that one. And I was like putting up a fit. And, then eventually she said, you can have it if you want to. And I was like, no, no. If you're going to give it to me like that, I don't want it. And I just backed away. So.
You know what's funny, too? He's not to get too off track here, but the similar situation when I was younger, I really wanted a Cypress Hill album.
Oh, yeah.
So my dad refused to get it for me because of, first of all, the parental advisory and then also the cover. I mean, I can't remember, but I'm imagining that there was probably some sort of smoke and some green stuff that was on the cover of it. And I didn't do any of that, but it's just, I was one of those kids that liked rap music. So anyways, I digress.
You weren't like that. You were insane in the membrane, weren't you?
Yeah.
Insane in the membrane.
Insane in the brain.
I can't play too much because I think that just swears all throughout it.
Yeah.
Anyways, but that's a little bit musical history of the incredibly smart, intelligent, prepubescent Brian Stackpole. Anyways, we were delighted last night. The Tough 25 finale.
Good Lord.
I will admit I did fall asleep during the Tough finale part of it one.
Jesse Taylor?
I did miss that one, unfortunately, yeah. But I did like the post-game or the post-fight reacts where he was at his press conference. He looks down at the check. He's like, I can't believe how much money this is. Because he got, what, $1 million for winning that thing last night?
I think the contract that he got was $250,000.
Okay.
And I'm not sure what the bonus is or whatever.
But
I know
still,
he made a lot of money last night.
He saw all the zeros on there. And it was probably more money than he'd ever seen in his life. So congratulations to him. But the card in general was just loaded with great fights.
Yeah.
Even on the UFC Fight Pass, I didn't get to check it out, but Gray Maynard, man, looked good. They said he probably looked as good as he has in years in that Fight Pass curtain jerk there.
Well, I mean, he's definitely been on a slide, so if this is a big win for him and he's actually coming back, that would be great because the Bully was always a lot of fun to watch. But he's getting up there in age. I mean, he's got to be late 30s by now, and that's kind of old, especially for someone that's been around as long as
right.
him.
Yeah, Ariel Helwani put it best on Twitter last night. Gray Maynard is curtain jerking, which is the term for starting the show off, and Frankie Edgar's going to be fighting for a title. How great. Yeah, I thought that was summed up incredibly well. But some of the other ones I want to touch on, the fight I was looking forward to the most out of the whole card, and it might not have been the case for other people, was the Dekazi and Drakkar close fight.
Mm-hmm.
I was just knowing that from watching the Devin Powell-Drakkar fight and knowing how much smack talk he can throw out there, even while fighting, that he's just one of those guys. He's kind of like a young version of Conor, that he's got the mouth, maybe not to the same extent, but he's cocky as all
right.
hell. And we've had him on the show. He's a nice guy. And just the relationship with our friend Devin Powell, by fighting him, I was like, I need to watch him. Plus, Dekazi is a guy you look at and you say...
He's a knockout artist. He's
and he just he looks scary.
Yeah.
He's got that red
yep.
mohawk and
he's
he was undefeated.
Right.
Both guys, the only blemish was a draw that was on the record of Drakkar. So someone was going to get their first loss. And that's why I looked at this one and said, this is going to be a battle. And you know what? I think it actually lived up to the height. Split decision for close. But, man, it was just great just to see the back and forth action, both guys winning a round and then just going to the scorecards. And I think they did make the right decision. I had Drakkar winning, but very narrowly.
No, I had Drakkar winning. And I think that he won two out of three rounds for sure. I'm fairly confident in that assessment. But, you know, this was an interesting stylistic matchup because with Drakkar's wrestling, he was able to negate a lot of DeCasey's kicks and punches and his stand-up ability. So the thing that I was really kind of taken off guard about was afterwards when they announced the winner and Drakkar started going, "What? What, Mark? What?" And they had to, like, move him away and separate
him.
Wait,
you actually heard that? Because I think they bleeped everything out.
Well, I just heard him say, "What, Mark?" And then, yeah, there was a lot of bleeping out. But they had to get in the middle of it. And DeCasey just left. He left the octagon and went backstage. And from everything that I can gather, DeCasey seems to be a very... Devin Powell actually said that he's a very nice guy. He's met him before. Yeah. And, you know, but this is the thing. This is the fight game. And Drakkar Close, I was watching on social media, and there were some people, I'm not going to name names, that were really hating on him. But look, he went out there, he did his job, and he's getting more notoriety now because he's the villain, because he's painted himself in that light. So this is going to do is make him more money and get him a higher level fight. So kudos to Drakkar Close.
And you know what I will say, too? He took the most of his opportunity. Not that he wouldn't have gotten to the UFC eventually, because he probably would have. But honestly, look at it. He filled in for Jordan Rinaldi. He wasn't going to actually be on the fight card he was going to start this year out. And again, he eventually probably would have. But he took the advantage, he took the opportunity that was afforded to him by the Ultimate Fighting Championship to face Devin Powell, mm-hmm. a guy who had only had one loss on his record at that point in his mm-hmm. career. And he went in there, did exactly what he needed to do. It went the distance, which has now been the MO for both of his UFC fights, and I'm sure he wants to change that in the future. But he took it, ran, impressed some people, got into a little jarring match with Daniel Cormier, too, who actually dropped an F-bomb during the broadcast, unaware about him, and wished him well after he won that victory last night. I just saw on Twitter that DC gave him some glasses. Like, my good buddy Drakkar Close, congratulations on winning. Love that. People are respecting him a little bit more, and he is going to sell his fights.
Yeah, no, he definitely is. Oh. And that was just one of a number of great fights last night.
Before we move on, though, I do want to say, like, who would you want to see Drakkar face next?
Jeez,
because there's a couple names. I'll throw some out there if you want.
Yeah, tell me, who do you think? Who makes sense? I mean, because if you think about it, what was DeCasey? He was number what in the lightweight division?
I got to check on that one, but he's still a little ways away, I would say, at least in my opinion, from... the upper echelon. Let me pull this up here. But there were some people just talking about some guys that he could be theoretically facing in the future. And do you try to test him a little bit more? But
well, if you look at the lightweight division, obviously right now Conor is the champ. Number one is Khabib. Then you got Ferguson. You got Eddie Alvarez, Edson Barboza, Michael Johnson, who lost in the main event last night to a now guy who, where is he going to be in the rankings? Justin Gaethje. I mean, good Lord.
Right.
I'm going to coin him. I know his nickname is the Highlight. I'm going to call him the Terminator. You know. And then you got Nate Diaz, Kevin Lee, Dustin Poirier, Michael Chiesa, Ally Quinta, Dyrush, Evan Dunham, Gilbert Melendez. And then you get Francisco Trinaldo and James Vick rounding out the 14th and 15th spot of the top 15. So I don't know. I mean, I think if you give Close anybody, you got to give him somewhere between, you know, 10 and 15.
Well, here are some of the names they were talking about theoretically that they could try to throw in with him. One of the names was trying to look here through. How about a Kevin Lee?
I would love to see him fight
like
Kevin
that?
Lee. You know, Kevin Lee looked pretty darn good against Michael Chiesa, although I'm not quite sure Chiesa tapped, but Kevin Lee was definitely looking like he was going to win the fight regardless. But what does that do for Kevin Lee? I don't think Kevin Lee would want to fight Drakkar Close.
Right.
Because
too
right now,
away.
He's moved so far up right now. He's number seven in the lightweight division. I don't think Kevin Lee wants to fight anybody other than someone that's ahead of him. Or if he fought Justin Gaethje, I think what Justin Gaethje did last night put the whole division on notice. I mean, we talked about this prior to going live, and it's very well true. If he fights an elite striker, someone that, you know, is extremely proficient and isn't going to get dragged into a pocket, like, slugging match like Michael Johnson was in last night, you know, he could get exposed. But I can't think of anybody that's tougher that can take a punch better than what he proved he could last night.
What about a Michael Johnson then? Is he now the gatekeeper and you just say, hey, let's just keep moving these guys up?
You're saying you want Michael Johnson to fight Dracar?
Yeah.
Honestly, I think Johnson, I don't think Dracar is ready for Michael Johnson
okay.
yet. Michael Johnson, even in a loss last night, impressed the hell out of me. He
right.
looked great.
Oh,
he
did.
Looked great.
The quickness he was exuding
yeah.
was really superb. Some other names, too, that they were thinking about, Gaethje as well, just trying to see if he's testable. Like, is this for real, or could someone else beat him? And they were saying some names with Gaethje surrounding him was like a Barboza, trying to see if he's for real, if he beats Barboza. He's right now currently ranked as the fourth in the lightweight. And then they were saying some other names for Gaethje was Mickey Gall.
Which
would be a step down, in my opinion, but it'd be something that people would be interested in seeing.
I think he'd run right through Mickey Gall.
I think he would, too.
You know,
Mickey Gall versus Close? Think we could get that done?
I think that would make a lot of sense. I think that fight would be intriguing
yeah.
with Dracar's wrestling ability.
And it matches up the levels a little bit better,
a little bit,
too.
Yeah. And you kind of get an idea out of one of those two guys who wins, and depending on how they win,
yeah.
where they stack up in the lightweight division. You might be able to give them a little bit higher of a
right.
of a shot, with an impressive win over the other.
Okay, so we've held off enough. Let's talk about that main event. Because
good Lord.
This is the fight people have been talking about, and if this is a precursor for what's going to happen at UFC 213, well, people should be watching it because it's going to be a hell of a show. The way it started off, Michael Johnson looking as quick, some of his punch speed you blinked, you missed a punch or two because
yeah.
he was just that quick, but it almost looked like he gassed himself out trying to end the night against Gaethje, and went, as you heard here in the interviews, and you heard from with was it Storley?
Logan Storley,
yeah. He just did not do the game plan. He decided to try to beat Gaethje in his own game, and that was not the smart move, in my opinion.
And that's the thing, too. That's another reason why again, I'm not getting off topic here, but one of the reasons why Conor McGregor is so good is because he gets frustrated. He frustrates his opponents so much that they get out of their game plan, and then they fight him where he wants the fight to happen. You know, and I think that's the thing about Gaethje is because it's almost like, you know what, I'm a tougher man than you.
Right.
I'm going to go in here and I'm going to just stand and bang, and I'm just going to walk right through you because I'm just going to show you that I have more heart and I can take a bunch of punishment. And it's almost like it kind of checks your pride a little bit. To me, mm-hmm. I felt like Michael Johnson at one point was like, you know what, I'm not going to let this guy just walk me down and just try and bully me into this victory here. I'm going to stand in the pocket and I'm going to bang with him. And he caught Gaethje on numerous occasions and hurt him, but Gaethje, being the Terminator, walked right forward, and eventually those knees that finished Johnson off, you're right, he was completely gassed. And as Storley was saying earlier, he didn't stick to the game plan. If he just
yep.
would have utilized his speed and got in and out and not got into that tight pocket, slugfest, which is what happened, Johnson probably would have got that win.
I will say, though, both guys showed so much intensity there in that fight, and both guys were, I'm going to say, not that they necessarily left their feet in Gaethje's case, but with Michael Johnson, they were knocked down, but they were still able to get up, and just shows you that these are warriors out there inside the octagon last night. It was an absolute blast to watch. I was just a little disappointed that these guys got so tired that you knew it wasn't going to be a 5-round fight, and
yeah.
you knew it was probably going to make it even to the 3rd round, though it came very close to doing so. And I was just a little pleased that we didn't have a Kimbo/Data 5000 type situation where a strong gust of wind might have been able to knock down one of the competitors because they were so gassed. But yeah.
So for your money right now, what's today, July
yep.
7th, 2017?
Right.
Was this the fight of the year so far?
I would say yes, but I'm not quite sure I want to go to that extent. For some reason, I can't think of the fight, but there is something else that is in the back of my head saying, like, it was a better fight. I'm trying to think. What were some of the fights that all stood out to you recently, like this year, from the UFC circles?
From the UFC circles?
I'm just trying to remember, because I feel like there's another fight I just can't think of right now that I just glossed that one already and said, that's a tremendous fight. It must have been from one of the UFC events earlier.
You know, one guy that automatically comes to mind, and this was one of the reasons why we had dissenting picks here for the big card tonight, is Robert Whittaker. I think Robert Whittaker has just looked amazing. What he did to Jacare Souza, to me, was as elite and high level as he can get. That's why I picked him to actually win tonight, which is surprising. He's actually the favorite. I didn't realize that, but he, for whatever reason, Vegas has him as the favorite over Romero. But that fight really stood out to me. You know, I got to go with my boy here, Tim Boetsch. His last fight, what he just did was nothing short of spectacular to Johnny Hendricks.
What about Aldo Holloway? Was that pretty good?
Yeah, I mean, that was very good. But, you know, I feel like some of those title fights, the ones that are instant classics, are the ones that go the distance or go into the fifth round, and then finally one of the guys gets submitted or finished or whoever. You know, back in the day, like with Robbie Lawler and you know, Johnny Hendricks, and when Rory McDonald fought for the belt. I mean, there was just some unbelievable back and forth title matchups. I don't know that I've seen any like that so far as title matchups go.
And maybe I'm just thinking back to December and I'm kind of forgetting these, because I'm actually looking back through all the different results from this year, and this is definitely top five, regardless of whatever you think. But I'm just trying to think. I'm not quite sure I want to gloss that, and I'm not sure it's going to be the number one fight, just because, as you mentioned, the duration of it just didn't last very long. But again, all things considered, one hell of a fight.
It was amazing. It was nothing short of spectacular. And Justin Gaethje, mark it on the calendar. Whenever he decides that he's coming back and he gets his next opponent, do not miss it. It's must-see TV. This guy might be maybe one of the top two or three most fun fighters to watch as far as the pace he puts on and what he goes in there and does. He's amazing. He creeped into my top five just on his performance last night.
Oh, you know what it would? It was one of the last days of the year. That's probably why I didn't put it in there, or why I was thinking. That Garbrandt-Dom Cruz fight, I thought was really good, too. But again,
else.
That technically is 2016. Right. So, yep, I think right now, maybe I'll gloss that. After looking through the results here quickly, I have the right to change my mind. But, yeah, Kevin Lee would be a pretty good one, though I'm thinking of it. I think Gaethje, Kevin Lee would be a pretty fun one.
That would, you know,
Not the Gaethje trash talks, but who would you want to see with Gaethje then?
Man, you know what would
become
be amazing?
The Booker, Ryan.
I would love to see him fight Nate Diaz. That would be amazing at 155
pounds. Can we do a 12-round fight where they just hit each other in the face, just trade blows, and no one gets knocked out?
Right, because you know the thing of it is Diaz kind of like, he doesn't have really the power to knock you out. He just kind of beats you with the culmination of all the punches and kicks and just beating you up for three rounds or five rounds or whatever it may be. But what Gaethje has proven is that he can take some stiff. What Johnson was throwing last night was really, really hard.
Yep.
And Gaethje was able to withstand that and then come back and finish the fight. To me, what he did last night puts him in the top five immediately.
Yep.
Even though it's his first fight, the guy's undefeated. He's never lost. He's never been beat. And he's beat some former UFC legitimate fighters like Melvin Gallard. You know, he's beaten him. He beat Luis Firmino at the fight I was at World Series of Fighting on New Year's Eve, and Firmino is a stud. You know, this guy's legit.
And you look at it, too. It helps out the Professional Fighters League that used to be World Series of Fighting, because it shows that, hey, a guy can go from there to becoming one of the most talked-about fighters in all of MMA. Just real quickly on the lightweight division, because that's where we've been focusing here as of late. I'm looking at the top. It's still Conor, technically, with the belt, but Khabib, Tony Ferguson, followed by Eddie Alvarez, Barboza. Michael Johnson's probably going to drop a little bit, and there's Nate Diaz. This is such an intriguing division, and I'm sure you're going to see Gaethje jump right up there in the mix, too, in the top 15, as he's currently outside of it, just because this is his first fight in the UFC. But there are some really intriguing matchups, but there's a rumor that after this fight coming up in August for Conor McGregor, that he wants Khabib, and he wants him in Russia.
Yeah. I mean, look, let's face it. Conor gets what Conor wants, and if that's what Conor wants, Conor will get it.
Could you imagine the booing, though?
I think he'd thrive on it.
He'd thrive on it, but could you imagine how hated? Mm-hmm. I would fear for his life in Russia he wouldn't be able to survive and get out of that country.
I'm the biggest Conor fanboy that there probably is out there. But having said that, when I think about Khabib and Conor, I think about, like, Chad Mini Mendez was able to get Conor mm-hmm. down to the ground and beat him up a little bit, and Conor eventually knocked him out and looked good doing so. But if Chad Mendez can take, and Chad Mendez is a great fighter, but he's nowhere near on the level of a Khabib. So if Chad can do that, Khabib, you know, styles make fights, and Khabib is a nightmare matchup for anybody. So, I mean, for Conor's sake, to fight Khabib, especially in Russia with everything stacked against you, he's going to have to land one of those big lefts like he did on Aldo, I think, in order to get out of there with retaining the belt, because Khabib's a tough matchup.
I still want to see him fight Tony Ferguson, though.
Oh, yeah, who doesn't?
Still want to see that. I don't know if I want to see it before I want to see him fight Conor, but that's something I'm interested in. I want to see Nate Diaz back in there, too.
Yeah, I miss both Diaz brothers. Get him back in there soon, Dana. Come on.
At least, can we get... Let's get Nate up to 170. He can fight GSP. Though GSP is called out, he said he had a group text, which is like so, like GSP, a group text with him, Bisping, and Dana White. It just sounds like it sounds like a St. Pierre thing. And he's like, I want to call you out. I will be ready for MSG show. We will fight there if you will up to it. And he just basically called him out saying, like, I want to fight you in November. I'll be ready by that point. Hopefully you're ready by that point, too. That's the fight I want to do.
Wow.
Would you be interested in that still?
Yeah, I mean, I'm interested in George coming back. Regardless of who it is, I want it to be the right fight. I think the right fight would be for the welterweight belt. I don't think the right fight is for the middleweight belt. I think there's too many guys that are deserving that George shouldn't be able to just leapfrog because of his legendary status and mixed martial arts in the UFC. But I do want to see him back, and I want to see him soon. I want to see him by the end of the year, and it should be for the welterweight belt. And if it's not, it should be a marquee matchup with somebody that's right there knocking on the doorstep for a title.
If it's not Woodley, you know what I want to see? I want to see him face Nate Diaz. I want that.
He's already beat Nick. I think, Nick's a little bit thicker, a little bit bigger than Nate.
Right.
I think, that would be a pretty good matchup for George.
But imagine the trash talk Nate, like, as he's down on the ground, as GSP's doing his little grappling thing, working for position, just grinding it out. Yeah. He's being like, yo, you bleep, bleep. I mean, we can't even say half the stuff that he would say because it's just absolutely filthy, but it would just be phenomenal theater.
It'd be pretty comical.
Oh, it'd be so good. So we can dream, but the only disappointing thing about UFC 213 is that there's no Cowboy Cerrone versus Robbie Lawler, but fortunately for us, it's been dropped to the 214 card, which is probably, we talk about super cards, that might be the best card I've seen in years.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. It's a phenomenal card, and it's obviously headlined by two guys that hate one another, Jon Jones and Daniel Cormier. So we'll have plenty of time to dive into that and break down that card, and we'll have to devote some serious time to doing it, too, because there's a lot of fights we're going to need to talk about.
And we were talking about we need to bring our friend Aaron Lacy back for a couple of different reasons. He's got his scheduled fight coming up here in Bangor, which I'm sure he's excited for. Gets to sleep in his own bed and then kick some butt in the morning and then later on that evening. But he also is one of our foremost experts, I should say.
That's right.
In terms of breaking down UFC cards, and it's been way too long, so I think we'll have to have him on before that UFC 214 to give his prognostication and his picks, though. Did I beat him last time? Or was it a tie? I think we tied. I think it was like a three-way tie.
Actually, yeah.
We'll have to go back and check through the records.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and check.
All I know is the strap is around my waist. We'll see if it stays there by the next show. Damn right.
Make sure you tune in, especially when Brian's giving his picks.
What, for the next one?
That's right.
Oh, okay. Yeah, you're not trusting in my picks?
No, I was just saying, make sure you tune in.
Okay.
If you want to win money on DraftKings or wherever it may be, this is where you come. You come to the
main
event.
You come here to lose your money. All I know is that if Jim Miller wins and Yoel Romero wins, and then that's all that matters to me. I actually just need one of those two to win, and then I'm fine. I will defend my belt via a draw if need be.
One of them to win. Yeah. Well,
because I can't lose my belt on a draw.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, we only had two dissenting picks out of the four.
What we need to make sure we do is always have an odd number of fights that we're picking. That way it
still doesn't matter because we could always pick the same people.
We could, but we don't
I mean, we could have always picked the same people at the same time anyways, and I could have just defended my belt just by the fact that we didn't dissent in the opinions. So.
Well, either way, it's going to be a great card tonight, headlined by Amanda Nunes and Valentina Shevchenko, and obviously Robert Whittaker and Yoel Romero. Huge middleweight title implications. I can't wait. Can we just press fast forward and get to Buffalo Wild Wings?
Maybe. We'll see.
You don't have some app on your computer there where you can just...
I can't. You're not supposed to say that to anybody. It's my secret way to make money. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Well, we'll edit that part out. Anyways, that's going to wrap up this edition of the main event. We'll be back again next week with yet another one, and it's sure to delight you, the discerning mixed martial arts fan.
Peace.